we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead.
Welcome, welcome, our wonderful audience, to America Out Loud Pulse on Thursdays with Dr. Peter Bregan and Ginger Bregan.
Well, today, our guest is James Thorpe, MD, and introducing him is extraordinarily difficult because of how much I love him and admire him. He's a warrior for truth, a warrior for God, and a dear friend. One of the advantages of taking the risk of standing up for truth, one of the greatest rewards you'll get, folks, if you try it, is you'll meet some of the most wonderful humans on earth who are, for reason of God, and I think also their own essential nature, take enormous risks to speak truth to power. Now, for me, I think it's been much, much easier than for Jim, because I started doing this probably when I was running the Harvard Radcliffe Mental Hospital volunteer program back in 1954 to 58. Because I began standing up to docs even then about electroshock and lobotomy. And so I never became a part of the system like I thought I would. A, I didn't want to join it, but B, they wouldn't have me by the time I finished my psych residency. But there are people who have risked so much more than that. So I adapted. I went into private practice, developed the ability to be less vulnerable. They did attack my license, but I was married to Ginger by then, and Ginger just let them have it, and they backed off, apologized to me.
Thanked you for your wonderful work.
Yes. Literally. So, but James Thorpe and his wonderful wife, Maggie Thorpe, whom we also love very much and know very well, they did not get involved, really, I think, and he can correct me, till 2020, till the beginning of COVID. Because up to that point, like many, many good people, Jim was just involved with his heart and soul, loving pregnant mothers and their babies and taking care of them with a zealousness, a love, a concern like I've seldom seen in a physician. And then when he spoke out, for a long time they didn't touch him because he's such a great and good man, but eventually they couldn't bear him anymore. And he was attacked by the establishment and removed, even though they could find not a thing wrong with him, not a thing. It was just, we're done with you, from his lifelong positions. And of course, when that happens to you, when you already have a wife and children and you're established, you have your identity, whereas my identity by now has been, you know, critic of them. And he was one of them deeply, one of the good doctors. And so he has been through a lot. And I want to tell you, we are using video now just to be in touch with each other. And I want to tell you, Jim Thorpe, for all of you who know him, looks wonderful. Being he's very cute, he dressed up for us on the video. We're not exactly dressed up, but we look okay. Jim is shining and very handsome. And so there aren't really words for how much I appreciate this man, his godliness, his determination to do good, his good nature, his relationship with his wonderful wife, who is a lawyer and who is now doing a lot of writing on America Out Loud. Do you have a Substack, doctor?
I do have a Substack, but you know, I'm being since I'm a partial Luddite and having challenges with IT, I've been locked out of it and can't get back into it.
Is that by accident? I don't think that they do that there.
It was by accident, I think. But I have my Substack was Freedom and Truth, and it was going up really, really well until I was blocked out of it on October, and I can't get back into it. So I have some folks trying to help me get back in.
Good. I mean, Ginger's making notes, so I think that she's going to try to do something too. I don't think Substack does that. If they do, we're all in trouble. Even, you know, the whole movement's in trouble. Excuse me. So welcome to the show, sir. It's good to see you.
Dr. Bragg and Ginger, God bless you both. And back at you, you know, Maggie and I love you both dearly. And you all know that you have greatly influenced our lives. And Dr. Bragg and Ginger, I think that you remember the first time we met face to face was shortly after your book was published. You know, I can remember just being so honored to be with you. And if it wasn't for Ginger, with all the IT issues I were having, that never would have happened because she kind of held my hand through that. It's okay, Jim. Don't get we'll work through this. You probably don't even remember that, but
barely.
She does that for me every day, Jim.
You're so blessed. You inspired me, Dr. Bragg and Ginger. You both have. And, you know, you've brought us along in this movement, and you've really, really inspired Maggie and myself.
Thank you, Jim. You're doing a lot right now that I want you to just dive into. And we've talked earlier doing some cutting edges on longer term issues with these vaccines. Many people think, and there's certainly evidence that, you know, we're doomed to horrendous after effects from these vaccines. I mean, we can talk about that. You've been writing about cognitive issues. You've also been writing about the toll on actual direct harms from the vaccines. I think what I'd appreciate you doing, it's consistent with what I'm trying to do right now, is just start out with the slaughter. This is a slaughter. I'm estimating in a new column that we now have up on America Out Loud and on our Substack that we really have killed in the first 3 years probably more than 2 million people with these vaxes. And I explain why I think that.
And that's in the U.S.
And just in the U.S. Yeah, not worldwide. No one else is quite making that estimate that I know. But the simple fact is that when you get 20,000 reports of death in the U.S. at a time when doctors are threatened about doing anything negative, like making a report, and nurses and everybody else, even patients, we probably have, and the argument has gone into in some depth, we probably have more than 2 million deaths, at least 100 deaths for everyone reported. So maybe I'm asking you this off the top of your head, but maybe you could begin with just how many babies, mothers, and so on are we killing with these vaccines?
Well, that's a great question. I think that globally, I think that we talked about this off air, I think a month or so ago, Dr. Bragan, and, you know, I used the hard number of globally killed 17 million, and that was last September by Denis and Encore. But there's many experts like you, like others that I know around the world, that disagree with that and think that it's more. So so that if you extrapolate the Rancor data, I think that you're looking at a minimum of 750,000 in the United States killed. But Dr. Bragan, here's a point that I would like to make that I think that is, you know, and I'm really hesitant to say this on air because I don't ever want one of our victims' families in any way to take this in the wrong way. But what really hasn't been considered, it's not those that have been killed, but from, and nobody else has really talked about this except me. You know, I've taken Pfizer's own data that they tried to hide for 75 years. And what's actually potentially worse and more devastating on a personal and societal level is maybe not the dead that were killed, but it's the injured. And let's just talk about that, because if you take that first 10 weeks of Pfizer's own data that they tried to hide for 75 years, there were 42,086 injured. And if you calculate, and of course, that's casualties. I should say total casualties, including 1,223 dead. So if you take that 42,086, subtract the dead, and then divide it by the dead, you get an unprecedented injured-to-kill ratio of 33.4. And what do I mean by that? That means that for every individual killed, multiply that times 33.4. And as a military historian and a former military officer, a disabled veteran, I know my war statistics. Let me put that in perspective of wartime. You know, the injured-to-kill ratio of, say, the two atomic weapons that were dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki is, you know, there were, I say only compared to what we say now with COVID-19 vaccine, but in Hiroshima and Nagasaki combined, okay, there were 94,000 injured and 105,000 killed for an injured-to-kill ratio of only about 0.9. And you can take every war since then, I've done it, and the injured-to-kill ratio is in the range of 1, 2. The Normandy assault was in the range of 1, okay? The rest of the major wars in the last 70 years have been hovered from, 1, 2, 3, 4. There was an outlier of 7 or so. Of one war. We learned a lot in Vietnam of how to save lives. So let's then now focus over on the relevant medical history. Heretofore, the deadliest drug ever produced, you could argue, is either DES or thalidomide. Let's take thalidomide. Thalidomide, probably injured. Basically, thalidomide was 100% affected 100% of the preborns if they were exposed at the right time, probably injured 20,000 and killed 80,000. Okay, for an injured to kill ratio of only 0.25. Now let's take, and I'm sorry for the harsh language, let's take the butchers of Borla and Bansal, the CEO of Pfizer and of Moderna. The butchers of Bansal and Borla have injured 568 million global citizens. And if you add the 17 million they've killed, that's 585 million global citizens that they have killed or injured with their mRNA technologies. So let's go back now to the injured-to-kill ratio, and the casualties. Listen, the butchers, Borla and Bansal, make warfare and the two bombs dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki look like child's play. And it makes the worst two drugs in the history of medicine ever rolled out, which, by the way, happened to be in my specialty, diethyl stilbestrol and thalidomide. It makes those drugs look like prenatal vitamins. It's unprecedented.
Thank you, Jim, for that brilliant analysis. I wanted to start my third chapter of the book where I talk about the injuries. The second chapter of the new book is about deaths. And so I'll get that from you and open the chapter with that. We really have to face the simplest statistical facts about what's going on, because it is mind-blowing. And thank you for doing that. That's an enormous service. I deeply appreciate it. I never thought how important my asking of this question at the start would be. It must be even hard for me, you know, because I've heard you talk about this before. It's hard to stick it in your mind and keep it. So folks who are listening to this, which
is, I know why.
Yes.
The reason it doesn't stick is because it's not talked about culturally at all. We know this thing, and then we go out into the world reading or walking about or going to church or synagogue or something, and nobody's talking about it. It's like everything's, quote, normal.
That's right.
That we know it's not normal. And it makes us feel this sort of imbalance between what we know is happening. And how do you hang on to that? It's a constant cognitive dissonance that occurs. And we're looking at the whole world and cultural information and, you know, The Voice on TV or American Idol, which we watch in this family, and nothing's happening. It's all wonderful. Life is wonderful. And that is such a bizarre counterpoint to the slaughter and the degree of destruction of human beings through illness as well as death that we know is going on. And then we go, where is that? Where is that slaughter and that destruction? Where are the mournings? Where is the death? Where is the personal involvement? Even within our own families, if someone passes away, it's not polite to ask, well, were they vaccinated? You know, oh, they had a heart attack suddenly. He was kind of overweight or whatever. It's just not polite company to do that. You certainly can't do it in church or something. And those of us who are conscious of the actual statistics and death, we can commiserate together, but then we're out in this bigger world and nothing's happening. It is simply bizarre.
I think that's, I hope you'll do a column on that. I mean, it is so hard to wrap our minds around that. I'm sure, Jim, you have the same experience, at least as much as we do, because you're looking at the most tender slaughter of all.
Yes.
You know? Well, Ginger, that was so beautifully and eloquently.
It was very eloquent.
That's exactly what's going on. And you know, Maggie and I see it around our community.
Yes.
Locally, nationally, regionally. I mean, you know, just stuff that, you know, I can't go into that we talked about before the taping, you know, just horrible tragedies very close to us in this community. I mean, people who are dropping dead, literally, who were with Maggie a week ago in an exercise class, 37-year-old, two children, beautiful, you know, quit a hospital that pushed vaccines and everybody.
Thank you.
We're talking, you want to?
No, go ahead.
Oh, I mean, this is, folks, this is really heavy stuff. Please stay with us. Stay with us and James, Dr. James Thorpe.
We're taking a quick break.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with HealRight. HealRight is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, HealRight is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or americaoutloud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Trouble concentrating or recalling information is frustrating, embarrassing, and kills productivity. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Focus and Recall to boost your brain power. And unlike other supplements that don't work, Focus and Recall is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed ingredients to help you immediately sharpen focus and strengthen recall. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back. Guaranteed. HealthyCell.com. Code Out Loud.
Well, we're back again. Thank you, our wonderful audience, for listening and taking this stuff seriously. It's overwhelming. And Ginger was so eloquent about that, and Jim so eloquent about describing it. Where do you want to pick up from on this, Jim?
Well, I think I would like to try to be as eloquent as your beautiful wife and continue on in that vein. And that would be that then there's cognitive dissonance for sure. There's this, of course, modus operandi of preserving your paycheck, the cognitive dissonance, staying with the system, not being persecuted. But, you know, I'd like to delve into maybe one other potential. And that is the recent data that I've been gleaning over the last year from the government's own VAERS database with a huge safety signal using the exact analytics that the FDA mandates, that's, of course, biased in their own favor, showing that the COVID-19 vaccine compared to other vaccines has horribly breached their safety signal with regard to intellectual deficits, cognitive issues, psychiatric illnesses, and suicide and or suicidal ideation. And you know, these are quite remarkable findings. I found them last year, and I sat on them for about a year and then repeated the analytics. But just in briefly describing the FDA, and by the way, you know, there's never ever been a randomized double-blinded placebo-controlled trial for any of the 70 or 80 vaccines around the FDA schedule. The viewers have to understand that. And if you don't believe me, I'll stand behind that statement because I've studied it with, turtles all the way down. That's been published for 5 years now. Made any criticism of any fact in that book. That's one of the facts that I learned in the book. But they do the same thing with VAERS. They mandate that you compare a novel vaccine with a, quote, safe and effective vaccine. Well, of course, that's the same thing they've done with trials. They're not randomized placebo-controlled trials. So we did their exact methodology. We used their exact statistical analysis. And what I've come up with, if I take cognitive disorders right out of the FDA's database and I compare them with COVID-19, with that of the flu vaccine, or even all the other vaccines put together, their safety signal of the risk ratio is less than two, Peter, Dr. Bregan and Ginger, less than two.
You have to explain that, Jim, to our audience.
Well, that means that if I compare the risk of the reported cognitive intellectual deficits with the COVID-19 vaccine and compare it to that of the influenza vaccine, if the ratio is twice as much in the COVID vaccine compared to the flu vaccine, that's a danger signal. Ours weren't twice as much, Dr. Bregan. The risk ratio I came up with was 87. And it was highly a danger signal. And then that's just for the influenza vaccine. If I include all of the other vaccines for the last almost 400 months, COVID-19 still outpaces them. One vaccine in just 39 months.
And well, that's not a danger signal. That's an explosion.
That's an explosion.
Yeah.
That's an explosion. And you know, the exact same thing is with psychiatric illnesses. I took all the psychiatric illnesses, every single one of them that are coded for in VAERS. I did the exact same analysis, exact same findings. And then I did the exact same thing for suicide and suicidal ideation. Now, I'm not here to try to convince anybody that this is as simple, especially you, Dr. Bregan, this is your area of expertise and Ginger. I'm not suggesting to you that, you know, the COVID vaccine has caused all these issues in the last 4 years. But certainly, I believe that it's one of many variables that has played a significant role in it. Yeah, there's a lot of stress in the last 3 or 4 years, a lot of drug use, a lot of alcohol use, a lot of reasons for people to have these issues as well. But you cannot ignore the contribution of the COVID-19 vaccines. And by the way, you know, that fits what I've seen clinically. You know, Maggie and I go, you know, we see people, we run into people all the time we haven't seen in 3 years. They're not themselves. They can't connect the dots. They cannot put two and two together. Their affect is bizarre. They have a blank look in their face. They oftentimes don't recognize us. And they look as if they've aged 15 years in the last 3 years. So it's consistent with my own personal observations as well. I'm interested to hear your thoughts.
Well, one of the things that's stunning to me, I think I mentioned it earlier in the show, when I compared the deaths in 2020 at 171 to the over 10,000 deaths from the vaccines.
171 what?
171 reports of death, thank you, honey, to the FDA, their system, which is like what we usually get in that range. This was 171.
You mean total deaths reported?
Total for all of the vaccines, really there are dozens of vaccines because every disease has multiple ones. Most of them do. And then you look at the figure of 10,000. I mean, it's...
the next year.
Yeah, it's astronomical. And it's in the range of about 61 to 1. And
which on a graph, folks, isn't even a hockey stick. It's a cliff.
It's just a cliff.
I mean, it's like there's this low line, and then all of a sudden, wham, there's this huge cliff where it just exploded.
It's a wall of death. You look like you're looking at a wall of death. And that's in the same range that you're talking about for the other disabilities. You're talking about 80 to 1, and I'm talking about 60 to 1. Basically, in this kind of a rough world, there's no difference between those numbers.
Well,
it's just very high.
I do want to clarify is that just so that I don't get misinterpreted by your readers or listeners, your audience, is that you know, what you're talking about, the actual rate, which is an odds ratio. So what I'm looking at is can't really be construed as an odds ratio because it's comparing the adverse events from one vaccine to another vaccine. So I you know, there's clearly you're right with your numbers that you're talking about. But I can't extrapolate the what we call that risk to a relative.
I understand what you're saying. But the numbers are monstrous.
They are.
And they knew this immediately from the Pfizer reports. They got over 1,000 reports of death sent into Pfizer from its own system in the first 90 days. 1,000 deaths.
Yeah, 1,223, and actually it wasn't 90 days. It was just one Pfizer. This is only Pfizer, and this was actually 10 weeks because they actually started around December 14th. They shipped them out December 1st and went to February 28th. That's about 10 weeks of 42,086 casualties, including what you just said, 1,223 deaths.
Yeah. And that's unheard of. And just a little side story, but it really makes it more clear. Moderna and Pfizer were the preferred vaccines of Bill Gates, Klaus Schwab, and the whole collaboration of multiple billionaires. When Bill Gates announced this is the year, this is the decade of the vaccines, he announced that in 2010, all the billionaires joined him. He was then, for a number of years, the richest man in the world. Now he's not, but he was the richest man in the world for many years at that point. So, of course, all the billionaires said, oh, vaccines, vaccines. They all started pouring money into. And, of course, what are they listening for? And very soon, Bill's talking about RNA, mRNA vaccines. And so all the money, all the power, they groomed people from their collaborations and their business models to get into top offices, like Rick Bright got to be the head of BARDA, which dispenses the money. So all the money went to Moderna and Pfizer. That's what was ordained along, and Gates worked this out with the World Health Organization. It's all pretty much laid out in our original book, COVID-19 and the Global Predators. And then along comes Johnson & Johnson, J&J. They got their own vaccine. It's somewhat different. It's double strand. It's called a DNA then rather than the RNA vaccine. But it's not, it wasn't predicted for them to get everything. So they threw out of the United States the J&J vaccine. They first started investigating it with three deaths from thrombosis.
That was with FDA, right?
With the FDA. So with three deaths, they started investigating. They still haven't investigated now with over 20,000 deaths. They say they're not looking. And with nine deaths, they got it out of the United States. So wow. That shows you this incredible preferential slaughter they are causing.
I did not know that. Wow. Three deaths, and then there were a spate of cases of thrombosis as well, blood clot, right?
Well, it was all, it added up to nine total. It was thrombocytopenia causing clotting. It had to do with the thrombocytes, which folks are just clotting things that float around in the blood and everywhere else. And they had clots in the brain, they had clots in all kinds of different places.
So what we've got here, and I'm going to take it out of the STEM world just a little bit, guys. What we've got here is we have incontrovertible evidence that the FDA should be looking at, and other of our agencies around the world in different nations that look for what you call safety signals, that look for those dangerous things that may be occurring to a population, at which point they have historically blown the whistle and taken the suspected or indicted product off the market. And what we have here is a massacre going on, ongoing.
Absolutely.
And we have propaganda against talking about it from the authorities and from the media, which is so heavily controlled. And we have this complete ignoring of it. It's not unintentional. It's not that the government doesn't know. The government knows this is happening. The data is there. They've always looked at the data in the past. They are ignoring it now. I think that one of the reasons for that is what you alluded to, Peter, where all the money has gone to mRNA. And as you know, I found and wrote a Substack about a column about the amount of investment going into mRNA. mRNA is the future, we are told, and that's where investors are putting their money. I had a friend who recently got melanoma on her face, and she went and had to have two surgeries to get it removed. And her doctor said, soon, you won't have to have surgeries anymore for melanoma. There will be vaccines that we can give you for your cancer, and it will send in those little armies, and they will address the infected cells and so forth and clear up the cancer. Well, that sounds wonderful, except we in the psychiatric field have been hearing that for years because, of course, mental patients were promised that when they took their psychiatric drugs, they addressed the bad cells in the brain.
That's right.
They address the bad cells.
Biochemical reactions.
The bad cells, not the good cells. The good cells are fine. And we know that's not true. So this is not an accident. This is not ignorance. And this is being done. And it pushes us to end up facing the degree of evil that's there, which I feel like we're constantly ending up back at when we have these conversations.
Yeah.
And then the other thing is, how do we work our way around that? But I think those of us, including all of our listeners who are so concerned about what's happening to the human species, to humanity, those of us, we need to think, how do we work beyond the evil? How do we counter this evil so that in some way we end up addressing it and saving people? And we've got 2 minutes until the next break.
You know, Ginger, I just in 2 minutes to expound on exactly what you said is absolutely spot on. You realize that there have been billions of dollars put in around the country of constructing new cancer centers, while at the same time, they've already made that investment. You know, this is brought out by experts like Geert Vandenbosch, et cetera, Ryan Cole. It's documented.
Wow. Well, I know that the investment is already there in mRNA because I've looked at some of the business writings about the field, and there are just billions and billions being poured into mRNA as a product in all kinds of different arenas, which, of course, is insane. Because the mRNA part of the COVID vaccine is causing a great deal of the damage, may not be causing all of it. There may be other things in the vaccine that are causing a great deal of damage, but the mRNA is definitely implicated. And
in cancer too, in causing cancer,
yes,
surge in cancer.
Oh, well, how convenient. We'll cause the cancer now, and then we'll have treatments all set to go when people start right. walking in on death's door. Listen, I think we could take a break now.
Many voices, one freedom, united in the First Amendment. Our goal is to herald the voice of genuine liberty at AmericaOutloud.news, a place where you'll find the naked truth expressed with a patriotic heart. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all.
You've all heard Dr. McCullough and others share over and over the value of keeping your sinuses cleansed. It's a smart move all year, but even more so when we're cooped up inside. It's not really open for debate any longer. Those that live smart and live well pay attention to nasal and oral hygiene. Cofix RX has just the tools for the job with our nasal and throat cleanse. Click the Cofix RX banner on AmericaOutloud.shop to get 20% off your entire order. That's right, AmericaOutloud.shop. Use coupon code OUTLOUD. That's coupon code OUTLOUD for 20% off your entire order.
Use Cofix RX. Because it works.
World-class care from doctors you can trust, all from the comfort of your home. That is One Wellness. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company launched the One Wellness membership to provide free monthly supplements and unlimited telemedicine access with doctors that share your values. The Wellness Company's chief medical board designed every supplement and medical protocol with your health in mind. From groundbreaking supplements like the Spike Support Formula to unique care like Freedom from Big Pharma. Join a healthcare system that puts your health and well-being above the interest of Big Pharma's bottom line. It's the way healthcare should be, with a company that shares your values. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first month of One Wellness.
And we're back with America Out Loud, The Pulse. On Thursdays, it's us, the Bregans, Dr. Peter Bregan and Ginger Bregan. And our wonderful guest this week is Dr. James Thorpe.
I tell you how scary this world is we're in, because I was just about to repeat how much I love Jim Thorpe and how close we are. And I realized that makes him a target, makes me a target.
Oh, honey, I'm sorry. We already have our targets.
And we are. We're just targets.
All we can do is love every day.
Love every day and welcome our martyrdom, because maybe a few martyrs will get some people out on the streets. And we are genuinely old enough now for it to be euthanasia.
Euthanasia is not okay. I have a coming Substack. Euthanasia is all the rage these days, and it's not okay.
Especially up there in Canada, right?
Yeah. Oh, my golly. It's a nightmare up there. Yes. And it's another one of the ways that life is no longer being cherished. Jim, you see that all the time with your patients being put into potentially death-causing situations with having vaccines forced on them in pregnancy, and for both the unborn child and for the mothers. And the death is amongst us all the time now, not just as a natural phenomena at the end of life. Death is being pushed on us. It's being encouraged for all of us. As soon as somebody feels that they aren't being productive anymore, you know, death is an option. In many countries now, you don't have to be even a certain age before you can go ahead and decide that you want to go ahead and check in and have yourself killed.
For psychiatric reasons in many European states, as far as I know, but in Canada too now.
And children too.
So you get psychiatric reasons for adolescents. I had a professor once who said, if you're not suicidal during your adolescence, you're not a real person. I mean, it is very common for adolescents to struggle with suicide and to come out deeper and richer people. And I work with those children and young people often. And to offer them the alternative of murdering themselves. It's, you know, it ties into offering kids who are struggling at 12 with their, how they want to view themselves as male and female. Instead of murdering them, you chop them up. And before they're anywhere near of age to know the implications, and even in the schools, encouraging them not to tell their parents if they go on hormones and stuff. So we're looking at a world that is so anti-everything good now, the direction it's moving in, and anti-God, anti-Christianity, anti-Judaism, anti-the Western world in so many profound, profound ways. And I hope that more and more people out there will bring your gifts, for goodness sakes, to the battle. And I only began saying that within the last year, because I've always had the position of a therapist. The last thing in the world that I was going to do is start talking about what people should do with their lives. I've really avoided that my whole life. But now this is outside of being a therapist. This is being a doctor concerned about the murder of our civilization, our babies, our pregnant mothers, our old people, everybody. And then humiliating those who don't fit in that category, like the young white men who are healthy. Let's get them all. And humiliate them, ridicule them, destroy them. And we really do need folks, if we're going to survive, to bring our gifts. And it might be talking to your neighbor, it might be your church, it might be your school board, it might be on a larger level. I don't know what level God wants each of us to work on. I have no idea. But you might have an idea of where God wants you to work. And I'm speaking a little bit more about this than ever because, you know, Jim is so clearly helping us look at the worst of it, which is a gift that he has and a gift that we aspire to when necessary. But on the other part of it, in this last part of the session, I want to remind folks that Jim and his wife Maggie and Peter and Ginger, we do make a bubble of a kind of love for ourselves. And we urge you to do that. This is not the time to throw your lives, I don't think, on somebody else's spear. It's a time to really love one another. As a Jew, I'm deeply impressed with Jesus' suggestion that the most important thing was to love God and love one another as I love you. He said, speaking as God or for God, whatever your view on it. But that's the truth, that we should love one another and love God and accept God's love. And when you have that and you start to build a circle of people who have that, life gets just more wonderful than ever. And Jim's smiling, and I want to just hand it over to Jim to talk some about that, maybe.
Well, I just love the way you put it, and you've helped me see that so clearly, as you have so many other things, both of you, Ginger and Peter, Dr. Bregan. And I was going to say that, you know, it shouldn't surprise us. They're coming after our children. And you know, I want to do a shout out with the three organizations that have honored me my entire career, who, you know, given me awards and all this stuff and being on their board of directors, American Board of Obstetrics and Gynecology, the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, and the Society for Maternal Fetal Medicine. They've turned into what I now call the mother-baby death cult. They're all pushing the COVID-19 vaccines to this very day in the most vulnerable. And I'm sorry if I've offended anybody out there, but I'm not going to stop saying that because these organizations have been corrupted. They're going after my pregnant women, the most vulnerable patients in the world, pregnant women, preborns and newborns. So yeah, ACOG, ABOG, and SMFM, you are the modern day mother baby death cult, like Baal and the rest of them. And you've taken money to push this. And that is inexcusable. You know, you've celebrated killing children now for decades. You celebrate killing them, spent millions, if not billions of dollars on how we can select out babies to kill in the womb because they have some type of genetic defect. Goodness gracious, Dr. Bregan and Ginger, up there in New York City a couple of years ago when your governor, you know, expands the mother-baby death cult to killing babies after birth in the delivery room. What do? They celebrate. They light up your bridge up there. You know, these sick mother-baby killers in New York and in Oregon and Washington and California. It's absolutely disgusting. It is an attack on the family, and we need to call that out. And, you know, in Psalm 139, God told us in the Judeo-Christian scripture, we are, God said, I knit you together in your mother's womb and I made you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made, right? So really, okay. So we go after and we murder and shoot poison up. You know, we now have 44 vaccinations that we're giving to a fetus up until 12 and a newborn up until 12 months of life. Are we really fearfully and wonderfully made by God? Do you believe what the Judeo-Christian scripture says? I do. And then if that's the case, why do we need 44 vaccinations in these children of God that is killing them and making them chronically ill?
You know, I don't know if you even know this, Jim, but I started getting interested in vaccines before COVID, and I actually wrote a paper that got published just shortly after COVID in the International Journal of Risk and Safety in Medicine about this sham you're describing of how they tested the vaccines. I couldn't believe it, but I wrote about it, and I'm glad I got it done before, you know, the COVID, because it showed the, some background in this area. nothing compared to yours. But folks, what they're literally doing when they put a vaccine up and study it and put it through its testing, you have to have a comparative to see, you know, if somebody dies from the vaccine, but not from the placebo, not from the sugar pill, you say it's the vaccine. But let's suppose you were testing vodka to see if it kills anybody, and you compare it to gin. You wipe out all the negative findings, because after all, it happened with gin. Or you give them a beer, and lo and behold, if you drink a few more beers, you're getting the same results as you get with the original drink. Why? It makes no sense. It is comparing a poison to a poison when you compare one vaccine to another vaccine.
And Dr. Reagan, you've just nailed it. You are prescient, because that's exactly such a beautiful, simple comparison of one of the major lies all the pharmaceutical industry has used for probably a century. Exactly.
For vaccines, and only for vaccines.
That's the vaccines. Yeah. And, you know, you're prescient, because, you know, this book, Turtles All the Way Down, was written by two incredibly brilliant Jewish scientists who remained anonymous. It was published in 2019. They depicted, this is like the Bregan book. This is like 500 plus pages with over 1,300 references. And this was, these authors decided to remain anonymous. And there's two of the, one of the major professors over there in Israel published in the Jewish main medical journal. And they called it, they actually gave it a very positive review. And those two Jewish gentlemen in that, I think Heshua, I forget the name of the medical journal, it's a Yiddish word, but it means medicine. It's like the New England Journal of Medicine of Israel. They published a positive review on it. And you realize that 5 years later now, and by the way, it was republished by Mary Holland and Zoe at ZHD. Yeah. And, you know, 5 years later, there's not one iota of data that has been challenged by anybody in the entire world. And they're exactly the same as you published, I guess, before these two Jewish experts in Israel in 2019. There has never, ever been an appropriately done randomized double-blinded placebo-controlled trial for the exact reason that Dr. Bregan just stated. They mess with the control group. There's not a true...
They obliterate the control. They make it another poison.
Right.
Which shows you what they want to do.
Right.
Hey, this is no worse than the measles poison. This is no worse than the whatever else.
Which leads us to realize that all the vaccines are at the very least suspect. I think they're all dangerous. Certainly 40 of them in the first year of life.
Yeah.
It's torture.
Well, I want to go to one other point about this that we got to get in, which is that giving the vaccine is never compared to what effect it will have when it's given with 40 others in the first year
of
life.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Nor is the pooling of all the vaccines ever concerned or ever done. And those are possible studies. They're not the hardest thing in the world. And if people die, it's very simple. You've got numbers of deaths. I mean, that's, you can count that real easy. So they have been experimenting on us in the most horrendous fashion for money, for glory, for power, for whatever drives human beings, maybe some of them just to get along, may God judge you gently. So it's that bad, folks. It's not being anti-vax, it's being pro-science.
Well, I'm pro-human.
Pro-human, pro-science.
You're so right. You're so right. You know, I have verifiable data. This is legally obtained from Nevada State death certificate data. that after the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine, okay, this is in Nevada. This is Nevada state death certificate data that wasn't whistleblower data. This was legally obtained. There was a 20-fold increase in sudden infant death syndrome after the rollout of the COVID-19 vaccine in SIDS compared with multiple years prior to the rollout of the vaccine. And that's not all, folks. I have two whistleblowers who are police women who are on crime units that have to legally have to investigate sudden infant death syndrome. And one of them in a major metropolitan area in the United States of America, and one in another country adjacent to us. And I can tell you that I've looked at their data. Do you realize that sudden infant death syndrome occurs in 50% of those occur in babies within 48 hours of vaccination, and 80% of them occur within 2 weeks of a vaccination? And I asked the lady, why won't you come out? Why won't you? You know, I've interviewed her, but she's anonymous. She says, I'll tell you why. And it's the same in every metropolitan city in the United States of America. I've networked with people, but they can't come out. If they come out, they're afraid of being murdered. This is what she told me. I'm not going to be murdered like Brandy Vaughn. Remember, we all remember Brandy Vaughn. If you don't, look her up. She, I believe, worked for a pharmaceutical company, and she allegedly was murdered for blowing the whistle on a very similar issue. So they're deathly afraid. And by the way, these formal investigations, remember, if somebody dies outside of a hospital or else, you know, they have to be formally investigated. So these crime units, there are dedicated crime units to studying and making sure the mother and father didn't kill these babies or didn't have an accident or abuse. And they all have autopsies. And according to one of my sources, the vast majority of autopsies are abnormal. So I think you're right on.
The government, by the way, has been discouraging autopsies on the vaccine deaths. I mean, it's just so crazy, folks. Listen, I think this is one of the most important shows, not a show, one of the most important hours we've ever done. Folks, send this around. Let people know about James Thorpe, MD. Let them know this, what is going on. I think this show, better than any, captures the size of what many Jews have called the Second Holocaust. And it's bigger in deaths than the Holocaust. As a Jew, I can tell you it's bigger in deaths than the Holocaust. Send this word around. James Thorpe, a quick word about where people can get you. We have 20 seconds.
Right. On my Twitter or X account, it's JATHORPMFM, as in Mother Frank Mother or Maternal Fetal Medicine, J.A. Thorpe, M.F.M. Unfortunately, I'm shadow banned, but you can still find me, hopefully.
God bless us all. Thank you, folks, for taking all this seriously. I know it's fun.